really rough for them, especially having no support and no help really. And so it's really rough to get off the ground. So we go as a couple with them, help them with the property, help them with the first few people, getting them in church, and just every aspect we can, we're there to help them in the beginning stages. And we've seen God use that. And it's really neat. The first couple that we helped do that was probably just far beyond what I could ever expect happen. But there was a pastor, Hector Ramirez, in Jalapa, Veracruz, that I knew. He had a lot of health problems. He just unfortunately got COVID and he passed away. And the church was without a pastor. And since I was really close friends with that church and with that pastor, the pastor had asked me before he passed away, he said, James, could you look for a pastor for this church? And the people were asking me to find a pastor for the church. And so I knew a lot of colleges. I knew a lot of the places where you maybe be able to find a candidate or something. So I was praying to God to send somebody. And one after another would just, said, no, that doesn't sound like something we want. And then there was this young couple, that God just sent their way. And we took them over there. We wanted to help them kind of get started, but we introduced them to the church. And the church had dwindled down to about 20, 25. You'll see here in a bit. But Ivan and Saira Cantu were accepted by that church, and they just absolutely just started working like crazy. They were in the middle of a building project. There was part of the roof that wasn't even there. The cement wasn't even laid for the floor. And just a lot of things that were missing. So he got busy with that, but he also got busy with outreach. He got busy with so many different things. But I've never seen a pastor do so much in so little time. But if you have the pictures, Chris, a few months back, we were able to help him kind of put the cement floor there. In Mexico, everything's cement. There's nothing wood. So everything's cement. And so we were kind of putting down the floor there, and we did it by hand. And I was sore for the next 2 weeks. But it was a blessing to see so many people come out and help us with that, help us kind of finishing up the auditorium. And he has a great passion for what he does. And if you have the next picture, and that's kind of us finishing up what the work there. And the next picture, he has a great passion for what he does. But as soon as he got there, he got to work. He was finishing up the auditorium. He didn't just say, "Well, that's going to take about enough time." Well, he was working night and day in everything he could. And during the day, he goes out every day witnessing with quite a few people. This is on a Saturday. He invites the church, as kind of like my dad's church, he invites the church to come out on Saturday as well, witnessing with him. And so these are quite a few of the people he was able to encourage and kind of teach to go out soul winning, and just different people from the church that come with him on Saturday go out through the neighborhoods and witness. And he's taken these people and he's added to them since then. There's more people now. But he's able to take that church, if you have the next picture. And me and Ariel were there as he was trying to have a big day. He was trying to finish up the auditorium for that big day. So that's why we had to do it in such a short time. But me and Ariel and that group, we would just went out into the area there in Jalapa. And we went witnessing. And had Bible clubs. We had different things for the kids and for the adults. And just we did our best to be able to invite people to church. And there are these places. Mexico is really interesting, but there's poor areas, there's middle class. This is kind of a lower middle class, where they have the few places they do have wood. They just took from scrap. They put up the wood and they make it a one bedroom house. And there you have a few houses, but in the back you can't really see them. But there's cardboard houses. It's literally cardboard with tar on the outside, and that's where they live. But we found those places to be very receptive, so we just went there too. We went throughout the whole city, and we had just Bible clubs and had a really good time, and a lot of people came, a lot of people got saved, a lot of people said, we're going to be there on Sunday, but we had no idea how many were going to show up. Do you have the next picture? And after all the work, after packaging the bags and stuff like that, everybody was tired. All the teens and all the girls were tired, and so they decided to take a nap. And as a good pastor, Yvonne's there taking a picture with them as they're napping, and Ariel's laughing at them. But they're just having a good time. And we enjoyed it. And next picture. That Sunday, we had no idea what to expect. That Sunday, all that work started to be realized, started to come in. And so the auditorium, including the classes, fit about 400 to 420, around there. But the classes started to pack up. Next picture. The auditorium started to pack up. Amen. Next picture. And we were so filled in the auditorium outside, we started putting up a tent outside. We put up two tents outside, and even that was filled. So the road outside was starting to be filled. And it was amazing to see what God can do with people that would just give their life, just a few hours of their time, and go out and share the gospel. God can use the gospel. The problem is sometimes we just don't take it to the people. But God can do amazing things, and God blessed that day. It was awesome. And if you have the next picture. And you wouldn't think a young couple like that would do anything. But they just worked and worked and did what they could. He did what he could. He did what he knew what he was supposed to do. And God blesses. God will bless the work if we just do it. But it was encouraging to see a young couple to do take a church from, if you have the next picture, take a church from that. That's the Sunday I came, that they were going to vote for to take him as a pastor or not. That's how many people were in that church. Take a church from 20, 25 at most to that in just 1 year. That's when everybody comes together as a church and everybody works together to reach the city, the community with Christ. God can do amazing things if we do what we're supposed to do. And it's just incredible. If you have the next picture, I don't know if they're... Oh, yes. That was kind of towards the beginning of this year, end of this year. But we also helped with several different things. We had a little kind of thing for kids, kind of like a VBS or a kids camp. And we helped with that. A lot of kids... I think like 100, 150 decided that I'm going to give an hour to God. You know, I need to read my Bible. I need to pray. I just want to give an hour of my day to God. And different kids just made different decisions, you know, to tell the kids in school about, you know, about God. But it was really neat to help with that. Me and Ariel helped with that. Next picture. And my dad, every 3 years, my dad has a conference. For all the pastors that have gone out and started churches, I don't know. I know there's over 500 now. I think it's above 600 now. I don't know how many exactly. But out of all the graduates through the years that have graduated and gone to start churches, my dad tries to have a conference for all the graduates and their people, well, some of their people, the ones that could come, just to encourage one another. And we've seen that be a huge blessing. And every 3 years we do it, but this past year we weren't able to do it because of COVID. Then the next year came and, you know, COVID continues, but my dad was just saying, well, he called all the graduates, he called a lot of people, and he said, hey, should we have it or should we not? And they said, we need that. More than ever, we need that. We need to encourage one another, we need to go. I'd love to see, my friends, my family, just different people, to be able to encourage one another. That's what church is for. That's what we're here. We're not just here to sit on the bench, but we're here to encourage one another. We're here to be a part of something. But it was amazing to be able to see, it was between 9 and I think it was 11,000 people come for that conference just a few months ago. And God did amazing things. A lot of people surrendered their life. A lot of people just a lot of amazing things happened. That was tremendous to be part of that. If you have the next picture. Probably one of the neatest things as of late, to me anyways, and what I've seen God through the ministry, through our ministry, is we go maybe two or maximum three times a year to go help somebody like Yvonne, a new couple start their church or take a church. But we don't have enough finances to be able to do that all year long. So we just do one, two, or maybe three at most throughout the year. But throughout the other time, we're doing different things, you know, helping here and there, doing all we can. And so through the some of the year, I'm helping teach some teens. And some of the teens, some of the newer teens, there was this young young girl all the way to the right, her name's Haxili. And she came because her neighbor invited her. And it's funny how God uses even the simplest things that we do. But a neighbor just invited her and her family. They came that Sunday. They live over 2 hours away, about 2 hours and 20 minutes, 2 hours and 30 minutes away. But they came to church that Sunday as visitors. They came to church. She got saved. She got baptized. The next week, I was just so happened I was preaching to the teens about witnessing. And she came up to us later on. She said, you know what? That touched my heart. She said, I know I need this in my life. I know I need to tell others about what somebody told me. This is the second week in a Christian's life, you know, in her spiritual life, coming to church. And she decided to do that. She said, I want to come every Saturday. Our church goes out every Saturday to go out into the neighborhoods and witness. And she came out with us, and there's Ariel, the beautiful one, right? There's Ariel. There's one of our friends, and then all the way to your right is Coxelia. She came, and she didn't just come by herself. She also brought her dad to go out witnessing. And they went out that day, if you have the next picture. And they were all that witnessed several people. If I remember right, y'all were able to see four people receive Christ that day. And she was able to see that, and she was so encouraged by that. She said, you know what, I'm going to be coming consistently, week by week. And now she comes out. There's actually three times we go out in our church, but one is for everybody on Saturday. But on Sunday, she goes out every Sunday afternoon, goes out witnessing. And it's just been incredible what God's been doing through her life and how she's been doing that. But that's really touched my heart, how somebody can so quick go from 0 to 100. And that's just, this is incredible. That's God working through them. And if you have the next picture, that's her dad. You can't really see it, but that's me and her dad. I was teaching him how to witness, how to explain the gospel to somebody. And he picked it up really quick. He was picking it up really quick. He actually, towards the end of the day, he was able to give kind of the beginning of the explanation, two points of the explanation. And I was really impressed, but he gave the 2 points there. And then I kind of finished up the rest of the explanation, and those kids got saved. But it was really neat to see just young Christians, 2 weeks old, just saying, hey, I need this in my life. It was encouragement. Now, if you have the next picture, another one of the teens, and this is, I don't know how, you know, God just works. But her name is Gabby, the one right beside me, between me and Ariel, her name's Gabby. She's another one of the teens that were there in that service. And she so happened as well as, I think it was second or third week there, as is basically a visitor, you could say. God spoke to her heart. And she comes to church. She doesn't live 2 hours away. She lives reasonably close, but she comes walking because she doesn't have the money to come in transportation. But she comes walking to church and back. It takes her about 15 to 20 minutes to get to church walking. But she decided that week, she said, you know what, I'm also going to be part of this. I want to tell other people about Christ. And she went out with us, and we were able to see that old couple. They were just cute. They were really just sitting there in the middle of the day, just, you know, spending time with each other. And we were able to witness to them. And I remember when she came back to me with tears in her eyes, she said, I saw my first person that received Christ as their Savior. And it was awesome to see her. And she said, I want to continue this every week. And week by week, she hasn't failed to come out on Saturday, which is when the church gathers together to go out with soul winning. She hasn't failed a single time in, I don't know how many, I think it's been like 2 or 3 months now. And she hasn't missed a single time. And it's just neat to see what God's doing there in Mexico. And I just wanted to say thank you. Is there another picture? I just wanted to say thank you for what you guys are doing in praying and giving. There's people being saved. There's people getting baptized. There's people changing lives. And I know you don't get to see it all the time, but one day you'll see it in heaven. One day you'll meet Gabi. One day you'll meet Haxili. One day you'll meet all those people that have been able to been reached by the gospel just because you were able to send us and keep us there on the field. And I just want to say thank you. To finish up, this is the, you know how I explained, we go with different couples. This is the next couple we're going to be going out with. We weren't able to go at the very, very beginning. They had a plane ticket to go right when we were coming up here. So they went to Bolivia to start their ministry there. And I'm going to be going there to Bolivia with them to help them kind of get started as soon as I get back to Mexico. But their name is Christian and Sharon. I hope you'll be praying for them. They're going to Bolivia kind of start their ministry. And they're also a couple that is absolutely astounding. And you never know just these young couples graduating from college, they do an absolutely incredible, incredible work. But I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for all you do. And it really is changing lives, and I really appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. Well, today I just I have a few minutes. What time do you finish? I never asked about that. Why? Just around. Well, okay. Well, I can't get it out. Well, I'm just going to, I'm not going to be long at all. I'm going to be as short as I was this morning. But I just want to say this before I start out. I said this morning, and I hope you understand this, and I mean this. There isn't a church that's more near and dear to my heart than this church. Grace Baptist Churches, I love you guys very much. And through the years, I want to say how grateful I've been for you. You gave me my wife, you gave me a lot of things. But there's a few things I feel, as I've been growing up, have been missing in the United States. And some people say, wow, that's incredible what's happened in Mexico. That's amazing how God's blessing. But I think God can do it here too. I think God can do it here too. I think He wants to do it here too. I know He does. I don't think it. I know He does. But I hope that this message will be a blessing to you. I hope that this message will touch your heart. And all I ask is I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not telling you, hey, this is, you're wrong because you're doing this. No, that's not my point of the message. All I want, if you could please, is ask yourself, am I missing this in my life? Is this something that lacks in my life? Or am I okay here? So let's open our Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. We're going to see four verses to begin with. If you guys could help me just to be able to look at the story, would you help me in reading every other verse? So I'll read verse number 1. If you guys could read verse number 2, I'll read verse number 3. And we'll all end on verse number 4 of 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse number 1 says, "And it came to pass, after the years were expired, at the time..." Now, please just concentrate on this. It says, "At the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon." But concentrate again on this. It says, "And besieged Reba, but David tarried still at" where? Jerusalem. Verse number 2. "And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, 'Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from uncleanness, and she returned into her house." Now, this is not an easy story, but God, I do believe God puts these stories. It's a real story. God puts these stories in the Bible for us to learn from, to pay attention, to take something from it and apply it to our lives. But the point I want to see today is verse number 1. It says, "And it came to pass after the years were expired, and concentrate here, it says, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Reba, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. But David tarried still at Jerusalem." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your opportunity to be able to preach. Thank you for everything you do for us, Lord. Thank you for this church. Lord, this church has so many things that they're doing so well. I think this church is a beacon in so many different ways. But Lord, I'm grateful for those, but I hope this morning, maybe, if there is something missing in our life, if this is missing in our life, if this is missing in our church, maybe, Lord, help us to see it. Help us to change it. We ask this in your name and pray this. Amen. Well, here, just a little bit of the story is, I'm sure everybody's probably, if even if you're new to Christianity, maybe you've read this in your Bible at least. But here David is. It's one of the famous points in David's life. David was a great man, a man loved of God, a man near and dear to his heart. But David did something here. Here it says, there came a time when kings go forth to battle. Now, a lot of theologians think, well, this means this, this means that. All I know is he was supposed to be in battle. He was supposed to go to battle that day. He should have been in battle. But that day, he sends everybody to battle, to war, and he stays home. And from that point, his life kind of starts to deteriorate. The devil uses that and starts to destroy his life, tries to destroy his life completely. But the point here I want you to see is he stayed home when he should have gone to battle. The question I want to ask, and I'm not saying this is, you know, this is exactly what it's saying, I'm just saying the point here is, are we staying home when we should be out fighting? Are we staying back when it's the moment that we should be out fighting? Here David has decided to stay back, and he doesn't go to battle. I know plenty of times in my life I've seen different situations, but as I grew up, when I was a kid, we'd come up to the States, and I see time after time after time, church after church, thriving, blossoming, they had have it all together. And usually they would go out once a week witnessing. But I know through the years it kind of became something that was, you know, hey, we don't need to do that. Hey, that's too much. That's exaggerated. And so it started kind of dwindling back. And I started to think to myself as, you know, COVID hit. So many churches stopped it all completely. And some people say, James, hey, how is it going down there? How's God using it down there? How's God using you guys? How is God blessing down there? He's doing amazing work. But kind of like that couple, Ivan and Saida Cantu decided, hey, I don't know how much time I have left here on earth. I don't know how much time I'm going to live. But my dad always taught us, when Saturday came, we're going to go out witnessing. And I'm not saying here, there's a few verses that explain what kind of what I wanted to say. I don't have a lot of time to explain all of them, to read all of them. But God sometimes asks us and has told us, it's time to go out to war. James, are you saying here it's telling you have to go out sowing? No, that's not what I'm saying. This is just a principle that we'll learn from this chapter. The principle is when you're supposed to go and do something, go and do it. You know, there's times where we take a vacation. You're saying, James, can I take a vacation? Can I take a break from this? Absolutely. I think there's times for a vacation, but there's also time for war. Amen. And that is that time is now. I believe that time is very much now. You say, James, where does the Bible tell me to go out witnessing? I'm sure if you've been here any time, I'm sure you've seen these verses, but there's a few verses that kind of poked my heart about this. Am I going out to war? Am I going to fight the battle? Do I care about those out there? There's all the verses. One of the most common is Matthew 28, 18 through 20, where you see there the command of the gospel, the Great Commission. It says go. It's just as simple as that, just go. God will fight for you. God will give you the strength. But the question is, are we going? I'm not telling you, hey, you're wrong, you're not doing this. You know, I'm not saying that at all. I have no idea if you go, if you don't. I have no clue. I'm just asking, will you ask yourself, am I staying home when I should go out to battle? There's a few verses that really spoke to me as I thought about it. But Acts, which, could you open your Bible with me to Acts chapter 18? Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. Verses 4 through 6. Acts chapter 18, verses 4 through 6. Here it puts it pretty clearly. And he reasoned in the synagogue every what? Sabbath. And he persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews and that Jesus was Christ. Now this is what I want to concentrate on. It says, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed and shook their raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am what?
Clean.
I am clean. From henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles. You know, sometimes I have no idea what's going to happen. Sometimes we're going to go out witnessing. We're going to see people saved. We're going to see God work incredibly. But sometimes you're going to have a door slammed in your face. Sometimes you're going to get the word, no, I don't have time for this. I've seen that time and time again. But the question is, did you go? Here, Paul's saying, I did my part. My hands are clean. When I get to heaven, you're not going to be able to say, I didn't try to witness to you. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. In heaven, will West Virginia, will Clarksburg, will Bridgeport be able to say there's no fault in them? They did what they were supposed to do. They went to my door, they knocked on my door. They talked to me, and I rejected them. Or in heaven, as you look, as they're being cast into hell, are they going to be able to say, no, they never once knocked on my door. They never once told me. I think there's going to be regret in heaven for a lot of things. But I think this is probably one of the biggest things that we're going to regret. Something else that Paul says is encouraging, Acts 20. He says it again. Say, James, this is just a fluke. I'm not responsible for this. Well, let's see it again. Acts 20, 24 through 27. Says, but none of these things... Now, this is what talked most to me, and especially during COVID. This is what spoke most to me. But none of these things move me. Neither what? Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Do you count your life so dear to yourself that you don't go out? It's just a question. I'm trying to be a little frank with you. I love you. But do we count ourselves so dear to ourselves that we don't even... He could have been stoned. He ended up dying for the gospel. He could have been stoned. There's a lot of problems. There was a lot of possibility of him not coming back from going out and telling everybody about Christ. His life was in jeopardy. But are we so scared of getting COVID that we don't go to our neighbor? Are we so scared of COVID that we don't talk to our friend at work? Are we so scared of losing our life, our physical life, that we'd rather see their eternal life gone? It's just a question. We continue, verse 24 says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my what course with joy. There is very little things that will bring joy to your life more than seeing somebody accept Christ as their Savior. There's little things that I do not love to get up on every Saturday. I go out witnessing, no matter where I am, on vacation or not. I go out witnessing. Yesterday we went out witnessing. Yesterday we went to apartments here before even the baby shower. Me and Ariel went. And I asked God, God, could you do this for me? Could you help us see somebody saved today? You know, I can go out, but you know who is the one that's going to do the work? It's God. We went out and we had person after person after person say no. And I understand that, and that happens. Do you think that doesn't happen in Mexico? Absolutely it does. But we kept on going out, and there was this lady that was deaf. There was a lot of people deaf around, but there was a lady that was deaf, but she seemed that she wanted to hear. And so I was trying to explain it best I could. I wasn't doing very well, but out of nowhere, two kids come up. And one of the kids knew how to speak sign language. And she started, I said, hey, could you help me out with this? Could you explain it? She said, sure, for sure. And as I was in the middle of this, I asked them, hey guys, what could I tell you guys how to be sure that you're on your way to heaven? Right here in Clarksburg. This isn't Mexico, this is here in Clarksburg. And they said, absolutely. I witnessed to them. Right there, they accept Christ as their Savior. Amen. I invited them for this Wednesday on VBS. I don't know if their parents will let them come or not. But guys, this isn't something that happens in a foreign place. This can happen here too. God can work here too, and I think He wants to work. The question is, are we staying home when we need to go out to battle? Answer the question yourself. But just to finish up the verse, the verses, it says, so I finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord. It's God that asked us to do it. It's not me. It's not Pastor Vaughn. It's God that asked us to do it. Jesus, to testify the gospel of the Lord, of the grace of God. And going to verse number 26, this is where it gets interesting. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am what? That I am what? Verse number 26. Pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you the counsels of God. Again he says, I'm clear. I'm pure. I'm clean. I've done what I was supposed to do. It's not our responsibility to see everybody it's not our responsibility to see everybody saved here. It's not our responsibility. If one or a thousand receive Christ, that's God's grace working. But what is my job? What's my fight? What's my responsibility? Well, my responsibility is to not stay home when there are people dying and going to hell. There's person after person I've seen receive Christ throughout this all. And people that are now in heaven that wouldn't have been if somebody wouldn't have gone. You know, as I finish up, and I don't want to take too much time, but just think to yourself, am I doing what I'm supposed to do? Am I going out? Am I witnessing? Our family, I'm not telling you to do it once a week. That's not what I'm telling you to do. The Bible doesn't say. Paul said he did it. He did it every Sabbath as his manner was. You know, this is just something he did. He did it other days too. But every Sabbath, he was in the synagogue witnessing to the Jews. And it's just a manner, but I think it's a good practice. Our family, my dad, since we were kids, he said, we're going to go out witnessing every Saturday. And I find that why do I do it every week? Well, we do it every week because, number one, it helps with practice, but also helps consistency. Can you imagine simple things like working out, like eating, different things that we do continuously? We need to do continuously. Imagine if you were an engineer and you worked on computers and you just did that once every month, once every year. You wouldn't have good practice. You wouldn't work out that ability or that necessity I'm just asking, when the church meets to go out soul winning, when God gives you that opportunity and He asks us to come together, do we go out? Do we go to fight? Or do we stay home? I remember years ago when I graduated from college, and I started going to this church in California just while I was just finishing up college, figuring things out. And I went to this church, and this church had said, you know, hey, we're going to go out once a year witnessing. And I was like, well, I'm just going to go out, you know, whatever, once a year. And I remember not going out week after week after week. And I remember when I went back to my dad's church there in Mexico, and there's only been a handful of times that I haven't gone on Saturday that I've kind of broke that promise to God. But I remember going back to Mexico, and on Saturday came, and it was just awkward. It was like a muscle I had not worked out. It was just a practice I had not continued. And I kind of fumbled. I struggled to get back up on my feet. But little by little, I started getting back to it. And I think it's very important. I think it's very important that we go out witnessing continuously. In your job, in your work, to whoever God gives you opportunity. Those two kids, I didn't plan that out. God sent them our way. It was really neat. But are you going out? Or are you staying home? That's just a question maybe you can answer yourself. But I just want to point you to something as I finish. What did Christ do for us? Did God, when He sent His Son, Christ, when He came here to earth, when it came time to fight for you and for me, did He stay in His home? Did He count His life dear to Him? Did we matter to Him? He loved us more than His own life. He gave His life on the cross, and He fought for us. He went to war when He was supposed to go to war, you could say. And He didn't just stay there, but when He died on the third day, He didn't stay in the tomb, but He rose and He conquered. I think God wants to give victory to Grace. I think God wants to give victory to the United States. We're seeing revival in Mexico like you wouldn't believe. Throughout South America, we had more people receive Christ, more people added to the church than we ever have any other year throughout these 2 years. And I think it's just part of going out to battle. God's the one that gives the victory. But I fear so many churches have said, you know what? I'm just going to stay home. And I'm not saying that's the case with this church. I'm just asking you, are you staying home when you know you should be out in the battle? God can use us. God wants to use us. God wants to see West Virginia, the whole United States, the whole world, reach with the gospel. But are we caring and loving enough to go and fight when we ought to? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, and thank you, Lord, for this church. Lord, I say this honestly, there's so many things I've learned from this church. They give, they love, they have compassion. There's so many amazing things of this church. I'm not saying this is something that's missing here. I'm just asking everybody that is here, are you missing this point in your life? Do you actually witness to people? Do you fight? Or are you just staying home? Lord, this is the moment I believe you could bring revival. I believe that you could use us like no other time. But Lord, help us to be honest with ourselves. If we need to change something in this situation, this command of going to fight, of witnessing to others, of sharing the gospel. Lord, help us to change it. We thank you for your love. Thank you for loving us and paying the price for us and conquering. Lord, help us to love others as well. Pastor.
We needed to hear this. It's right. It's right. And I think we know it's right. Let's bow our heads for a moment. We're going to stand together.